room. Hi, I'm spilling over everything.
Spills happen. I cleaned it up.
I was wondering where my cup is. Now I know where that is. Now I've got two cups up here, and they look just like each other.
Okay. Yeah, you're good.
I'm good to go. I've made a mess, and I'm good to go. It's actually started out pretty good. If the pastor would just give us a good prayer, then it'll be a perfect day. Good. You think about the good thing about Tony is that his skin's like this thick. So really, I have actually tried to see if I could break him. I've never been able to break him. He is. If the Senate would please come to order, and we're going to have a roll call here in a second. Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 25th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe. Cooper,
here.
Kraft,
here.
Dockstetter,
here.
Driscoll,
here.
Emmerich,
here.
Escobel,
here.
Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Platern,
here.
Wasserberger, and President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Good morning, and Pastor Mender, if you'd please lead us in the prayer.
Good morning, let's pray. It says in the Bible in 1 Timothy 2 that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving should be made for all people, and especially for our leaders and those in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So I do that again today, Lord. I thank you for these senators. Thank you for their staff. And I pray for them as they discuss and vote on bills that affect our lives. I know sometimes people are on different sides of an issue, and sometimes it can be near impossible to come to agreement. So help each senator know when to compromise and when to stick to their guns. Help them, Father, to work together for the people of Wyoming and get along with each other as best they can. Because, as President Nicholas has said to me many, many times, with senators like Ross, who needs enemies? Amen.
I think it's friends like Ross. Will you please join me with the pledge? I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball. Would the reading clerk please read in the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 24th, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Let's see. Our doctor of the date is Dr. Ron Malm. He's a DO from here in Cheyenne. Our nurse of the day is Lily Bavona from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. I don't see them. And today in Wyoming history, in 1961, the legislature approved the purchase of the grounds at Fort Fetterman. Session status. Today is day 30 on the proposed 37-day session. We can see the end out there. Oh, and it says, my script says, one more time. Friday is the last day for bills reported out of committee in the second house, which, of course, means that if you have bills that are still in the president's office, you're going to have a hard time getting that done. But we'll Maybe we'll work with you, maybe we won't. Let's see. Then we had the students, are they going to come down or are we going to do it later? Are they here? So when they come here, we'll do them. All right. We're going to have a recognize some of our trustee scholarships recipients that are working for our interns, but we'll wait till they get back over here. So we're at that order of businesses of concurrences. It looks like we're going to be doing a concurrence on Senate File 29 and Senate File 81 for those folks to get their bills ready. And so the first one is Senate File number 29. Senator Meyer, are you ready on Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions?
Let me pull it out, Mr. Chairman.
All right. And then while he's getting out, the next one we're going to be doing is going to be Senate File 81, Kevin's Law.
54.
So, Senator Johnson, if you'd be prepared on that when we get there.
Okay. I can get it now, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. If you're ready, I mean, if you need more time, we'll give you more time. If you're ready, we'll go.
No, Mr. Chairman, I would...
No, I'll have it read in. I just want to make sure you're ready. Are you a go?
I'm a go.
Okay.
February the 24th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 354, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemption. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for concurrence on Senate File 29, Message 354. What the House did was a little bit of a moving around where the grandfather clause for Class A and Class B license. The House probably put it in a place that was a little more appropriate, actually. After that, Mr. Chairman, there wasn't a lot that they did that I think is really problematic. And so I would ask that the Senate vote aye.
Discussion on the concurrence requested. The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File number 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions, and you've been asked to vote aye. Roll call.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Bebout,
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
no.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 29, 29 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you have concurred with Senate File number 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions, that was part of message number 354. The next item for concurrence is Senate File number 81, Kevin's Law. Senator Johnson, are you prepared?
I am, Mr. President.
If the reading clerk would please read in the message.
February the 24th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 359, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 81, Kevin's Law. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, noes 18, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I move that the House do concur on message number 359, Senate File 81, and ask that you vote no. The House managed to do some pretty good damage to this bill, and I think we need a conference committee to get together with theirs and convince them of their wrongdoing.
The motion is that you do concur with Senate File number 80. A discussion on it. Let's go back to Senator Scott. Thank you.
Mr. President, could we have just a little explanation of what harm was done?
Senator Johnson.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. They put three amendments on it. The first amendment I liked, which was taking out page 2, lines 13 through 16, which was put on in here. It says, in administrating this program, the Office of Homeland Security and County shall establish a policy of including private sector participants to the fullest extent possible. The second one was a pretty lengthy motion. Okay. Over on page 3, they inserted a little Roman numeral 4 on the requirements for the applications to the Department of Homeland Security. They put in a statement of the local resources available, which I didn't feel was that bad. That's pretty normal. And then down on page 3, lines 20, they put in that the grant monies could be used only for startup costs associated with the response kits or services. And they do need training how to use all of this electronics that they do have. And on page 4, they take away any of the training money and any of the ability to do training on this equipment. Also on page 4, they take out the Office of Homeland Security shall provide outreach and education among law enforcement and families about the dangers of wandering and other potentially hazardous behavior that would just be a common part of the education when they're providing the instruments. And then the program was made 1 year. That's it. 1 year, the $125,000 would be put out. And then the counties and the sheriff's departments would have to pick up the costs from then on. And I know that you realize how much money the counties and the sheriff's departments don't have to continue this program. We have a lot of statewide grants that come from us to counties and cities all over the state that have been ongoing for years, and this is a good one to keep going.
Discussion on the concurrence request. The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate File number 81, and you've been asked to vote no.
Well, I may lose this.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe? Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 2 ayes, 28 no.
By your vote, you have concurred with, you voted, excuse me, by your vote, you have failed to concur with Senate File Number 81. Folks, let's take a break here for a moment and talk about our guests here. Each year, the University of Wyoming recognizes a select number of Wyoming's outstanding high school seniors for their academic achievement by awarding them the highly competitive Trustees Scholarship Award. Recipients are evaluated on their academic experience, including their high school GPA, test score, curriculum, major. Three of those 88 recipients who have received the Trustees Scholars are here with us today, because they are our high school interns. Alexander Sawaba, did I say that right, Alexander? Well, thank you. Is from Lovell. He is the grandson of Representative Elaine Harvey and is an intern of Representative Mike Greer. We apologize for that. Alexander plans to study chemical engineering. If you'd all welcome Alexander. Then we'll go the other two. We're going to do this three times. Yeah, well, look, we can actually, let me give you the mic here then. We're going to do everybody. The other, you guys don't have to stand up for him. You can sit down, you'll get your turn. He's a title of respect, but not that much. Alexander.
Mic on? Okay. Thank you for inviting me over here. It's a great honor for me to be down on the floor with the Senate. We were over with the House just barely. I really respect the work that's done in this, in the Capitol building. I know that without both bodies, the work couldn't be done, or it would be done a lot worse, I guess. I'm really honored that I had the privilege to be here, and I thank you for inviting me here. So, thank you.
Thank you. Our next recipient is Elijah Lowry. He's a homeschool student here in Cheyenne. He's an intern for Representative Harlan Edmonds and plans to explore his interest in business, communications, political science. Elijah, did I say that right? If you come on forward and please talk to us a little bit. Glad to have you.
Well, blessed are the brief, for they will be well-liked, so I'll try to keep this short. But I would like to thank you all for the work you do here, the time you put in to make our state better, and to improve the quality of life of everyone in this state. And I really appreciate the experience I've been able to have this session and how it's enriched my academic experience. I truly appreciate that, and thank you all for the recognition.
Well, our next recipient's been around here for a little while. Rachel Derner is from Burns. Come on, Burns! Not that Burns. And she's an intern for no other than Senator Ogden Driscoll. Ooh. She plans to major in agricultural education and agriculture business this fall. Rachel, if you'd come on forward and talk to us, and please don't mention Driscoll's name while you talk.
I had the privilege of attending Girls State last summer where they brought up the idea of this internship, and I absolutely fell in love with it. Ever since I was a little girl, I've had big dreams, and I've always been very outspoken. And the Senate and anywhere in the Capitol building is somewhere that that is not only embraced but expected. And thanks to you guys and all of the warmth that you guys have welcomed me with, I have really started to feel comfortable here in the Senate. And I am so grateful for this opportunity to be here learning from you guys and for all of the incredible advice on how to find a husband, where to go to college, and what the best career moves are, and planning my campaign, which will not take place for a very long time, if it ever does. But thank you so much for all of the opportunities and for the recognition and for all of the work that you do here and the benefits that we as students and residents of Wyoming reap from your work. Thank you.
Well, with all three of you, we really do want to congratulate you for your hard work. We're proud of you, and we hope you the best of luck at UW, and thank you for giving us your time for as our interns. We appreciate your help. Thank you again. Senator Perkins.
Please, the floor for
you may.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have up above the president in the balcony up there representing the Longs Peak Council, Greater Wyoming Council, Trapper Trails Council, Black Hills Council, various members of the Boy Scouts of America, along with the Assistant District Director Kerry Anson up here. If you'd join me, I've been a scoutmaster and a scout and an adult scout leader for probably the better part of the most of the last 40 years, and continue to do so and be active as a counselor in various things there. And believe that this was an outstanding program and worthy of, I'm glad that these young men are here, continue to exemplify the principles of scouting, and would refer you to, if you might, there's a study, Mr. President, done recently by Baylor University along with the Gallup Poll Group that came out and did a survey to find out about whether being a scout or a Boy Scout, in particular an Eagle Scout, really makes a difference. If you look at the results of the survey and the report that came back, it is a significant youth development program. But if you'd welcome them to the Senate, I appreciate that.
All right, we're at that order of business of Joint Conference Committee reports. The report that we have to address is for Senate File 5. Senator Cooper, are you ready?
I am, Mr. President.
Will the reading clerk please read in the message or the report?
Joint Conference Committee report, Senate File 5, Quebec Number 1 Historic Site 3, Reference House Message Number 291. Signing for the House, Representative Petroff, Barlow, and Eglin. Signing for the Senate, Senators Cooper, Kraft, and Dockstader.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 291 to Senate File 5, Quebec 1, Historic Site 3, and ask the Senate to vote aye. Mr. President, we had several people in attendance at this conference committee meeting. Besides the committee itself, we had representatives from the Department of Parks. We had people from the Air Force there who were all involved with this. And the first part of this amendment on page 2, line 11, it talks about allowing a facility to be able to be used by volunteer firemen to store equipment and vehicles on the facility. And this section, though, by the way, has to do with the lease portion of this. If they should decide to lease this facility, the state should decide to lease it, As you may remember, or maybe not anyway, there was another section in here that would allow the state to actually purchase it from the Air Force also. But this only has to do with the lease section for these fire equipment. And we talked, we had the Air Force there that talked to us and said, as far as they're concerned, they would set, you know, the limits of whatever they felt were in their own desire as far as the lease concerned, and they would control that. And so it wouldn't really be up to the Department of Parks to be able to say whether they're going to have fire equipment there or not, because they wouldn't be in control of that part of the lease. And then as far as the purchase part, this does not affect the purchase part. So in that case, it would be up to the Parks, State Parks Department, to decide on anything like this, and this doesn't even affect that part. The other part of the amendment, Mr. President, has to do with allowing a public hearing for these for the establishment of these facilities, and that came because I guess some landowners out in the area wanted to have some input into things like ingress, egress of traffic and things like that. So we didn't see any harm in that, so we didn't bother to make any changes. The public should be able to know and have a public hearing for that. So what we did is going back to the original page 2, line 11, where it says any lease or use agreement. It used to say shall include a provision that provides facilities for volunteer firemen to store equipment and vehicles. We changed the shall to a may, and that's basically the significance of this outcome of this conference, Mr. President. Stand for any questions.
Discussion on the report. There being none, the motion is the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Committee report for Senate File 5, and you've been asked to vote aye. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
No.
Closing. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Committee report to Senate File 5. Quebec, number 1, historic site, hyphen 3. The next order of business is the appointment to joint conference committees. The joint conference committee for Senate file number 18, expungement of misdemeanors, are as follows, is as follows. Senator Case, Chairman, Burns, and Kraft. We now have that order of business of reports from standing committees.
February the 25th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 1 judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill number 151, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Hospital Employees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Escobel, Hicks, Von Fladern. No, Senator Christensen and Kinski. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Do you have any more reports, or is that it? We're done? All right. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills and general file.
Mr. President, I'm
Oh. Hey, sometimes things don't get highlighted, they just get skipped. Don't highlight it, you get skipped. It does make perfect sense that we would have those, though, wouldn't we? And we have a third reading, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Just well, yeah, I ought to be thinking. This is what happens when you follow the script and you don't think. All right. Bill's on second reading. Yeah. House Bill 31, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 31, exemption water utilities.
No discussion, amendments? House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 76, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments.
House Bill 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 93, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 93, Public Service Commission Authority.
No amendments or discussions? House Bill 93, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 100, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 100, Highway Funding.
No amendments, no discussion. We do have an amendment. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move...
Hold on.
Have it read in, please.
Just give me 1 second, Senator Meyer.
Absolutely.
Now I'm ready. Go ahead. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 100, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy. Page 2, line 13.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move House Bill... I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this does is make it specific that we're just going to have a revenue and expenditure reports on the 10-cent increase rather than the whole 57% of the tax. So that's what the reports were in the past. And we wanted to just continue the reports as they were, and that's what this amendment does, Mr. President.
Are there any discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question is on second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 138, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 138, Workers' Compensation for Special Education Teachers.
We have amendments. If the reading clerk would please read in the first amendment.
House Bill 138, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy to corrected copy. Page 1, line 2.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment, and Mr. President, I ask for the yeas and nays on it. Mr. President, what this amendment does is to significantly broaden this bill. As the bill stands before us right now, it will extend workers' comp coverage to the special education teachers that are in the special classrooms that have the most severely handicapped kids in them. And what the amendment does is extend the workers' comp coverage to all special education teachers and other special education professional staff. That's people like speech therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, etc. Mr. President, I think it's important that eventually we cover all these special ed teachers Recall the discussion in Committee of the Whole where we discussed this concept and discussed the need for the bill. You're dealing with kids that can be quite unpredictable, that can do considerable harm to the teachers without really understanding what they were doing. It's not that these kids are evilly motivated. They just don't understand. And the biggest part of the risks are run by the teachers of the specialized classrooms. That's the ones that are already in the bill. But all the special ed teachers are running some risks with this. And I think it's important that it's a classic case of what workers' comp is intended for. Now, I asked for the yeas and nays for a couple of reasons. I don't want to jeopardize the bill by broadening it. So I want people to have thought out they're going to vote for the amendment. I hope they will vote for the bill on third reading. And, Mr. President, the significant money at stake. As the bill stands before you right now, the information we have is it's going to cost an additional premiums to the school districts from workers' comp, which we will pay out of the school foundation fund because this is 100% reimbursable. It's going to cost $164,000. With the broadening, it's going to cost $2.3 million. So this amendment is a $2.1 million amendment. And that's serious money. I think, however, if we are going to do what we should and cover all these people, we ought to do it now. And this is a cheaper way. And let me try to explain. The way workers' comp works and their premiums, when we broaden it, we're going to be stuck with the, for the first year or two, we're going to be stuck with the experience rating that's already established, 3.3% in the current case. We add the teachers that are most at risk. We're adding a group of people who are at greater risk. That's going to increase the experience rating. I don't know how much. I would guess by a percent. And every percent costs about $700,000 if you're insuring the full group. So we'd be better off insuring the full group right now, or we've got the little lesser rate, the 3.3% rate. Eventually, that broader group will bring the rate down because they will be at lesser risk. And I'll bet the rate winds up somewhere in the 2% range. And just by way of comparison, Mr. President, a really hazardous industry, say mine, cattle ranching, where we're dealing with large animals and they can do a lot of damage, the rate base rate's in the 9% range. You go down to office workers, your rate's likely to be under 1%. My guess, and it's strictly my guess, is that we'll eventually go down to a 2% rate if we broaden it. It will cost more money, but it'll still be a lower rate. If we wait, then we'll probably be stuck with a 4% rate for a couple of years when we broaden it, and then it'll beat down. We'll wind up in the same place anyhow, but it's cheaper to do it this way and make the broadening right now. And I think, Mr. President, is something, it's very much something we ought to do, but we've got to do it with our eyes open. And I know in our committee we heard a number of instances, and a number of them involved family members of committee who'd had injuries in this area. So I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment. But I want you to take it very seriously because it is a significant broadening of the bill.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of questions for my tall colleague from Natrona County and members of the Senate. This is a major shift on a second reading for workers' comp. The first question would be, how many are actually involved? And he he shared with us the amount of money it would cost them. I wonder how many are actually involved. And then as you talk to Workforce Services, their actuarial study, and this is a small number relative to the entire workers' comp system that we have in place, but have they looked at the cost actuarially to that fund and if there's any impact of the fund in that regard? The last thing I would ask him as well is if we were going to look at this, it seems to me that something this significant would have been an interim topic for our education committee to look at expanding this. And I'm not questioning the need at all. It's just how we get there and what we're doing on a second reading amendment to this bill that has a pretty heavy price tag.
Is there any further discussion, Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. President, thank you. Just try to answer some of those questions. The total FTEs in special ed is 1,322.81. The total salary of those 1,300 plus is right at $72.7 million. So if you took the 3.3%, that's where you would get what I believe the tall senator's talking about. What we're talking about here in the bill is the three extra hazardous areas. We're talking about 96.92 FTEs, and their total salary is $4.973 million. And if you multiply it times the 3.3%, that's where you get to $164,114. Now, this is a decision, and I said this once here, vote it up, vote it down. But this is something also that we can look at in recalibration. There's no question that all special ed teachers are at risk. I mean, you know, everybody moves around. You know, they're taking kids in and out of the classroom, moving them around. If we jump into this right now, it's 2.1 million more. Is it the right thing to do? Probably is. I just have to say that. I think it probably is the right thing to do. So vote your conscience, vote it up or vote it down.
Senator Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. President. And on and for the amendment, and I would agree with a colleague from Casper in terms of that it is serious money, but it's a serious problem. Some of these individuals have some complex medical, psychological, behavioral problems. Some of them have seizures on a pretty regular basis, convulsions and things of that nature. And some of these individuals are fair size. They're not necessarily small individuals. You know, so I would agree, and even though it is serious money, it's a serious problem that certainly needs to be addressed. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second, Senator Driscoll.
President, thank you. Standing on and for this, the great senator from the Northwest had some words for the wise on it, and I think we should follow him. Now is the time. It is money, but it's for a group that's really, really, truly needs it. I am going to vote on it. I will tell you, I have a daughter. It's a special ed teacher. She has cried for something of this sort since we've started. It's necessary, and it's something that's good for the state.
Further discussion before the movement takes a second time? If not, back to Senator Scott for your second time.
Mr. President, this is second reading, and we are really broadening a bill, which is why I asked for the roll call. I think we could say, okay, we'll wait on the expansion until the recalibration. My guess, if that happens, is that what this bill does. Will boost the experience rating by somewhere in the vicinity of a percent. And that's a guess. So you'd be looking at a 4+% experience rating because you're getting in the population that's at the most risk. If that happens, the way workers' comp works, we'll have, and then we expand in the recalibration, we'll have that experience rate. It'll take about 3 years to get it all the way down to where it
ought to be with the new population. And we'll arrive at the same place, but my judgment is that that would mean an extra about $2 million in cost out of the foundation program into the workers' comp fund. Where, and the question is on the actuarial study, where the basic principle is that since we carry forward the old experience rate, if you bring in a higher risk category, such as the bill does, you're going to hit the fund a little bit. Now, the fund is in fine shape. It's depending on which actuary you look at, Mr. President. It's either fully reserved or over-reserved. This isn't going to affect the solvency of it. But when you bring in a broader category, the way the math works, that's not as risky, which you do when you bring in the full special ed, as this amendment proposes, then the fund will make money off this population, probably in the vicinity of a couple million dollars in the first year, because we'll be charging at a higher rate than what we'll eventually get to. So it will be profitable for the fund. That's either way. Excuse me. Either way, we'll wind up fine with the workers' comp fund. But that's the basic principle on the actuarial effect we're going to have. So these teachers really are at risk right now. Their health care benefits are paying the deductibles, but the health care benefits are paying for the health care damage. That would shift to workers' comp. But nobody's paying the lost time. The teacher is just playing out of pocket on that. They can use their sick days. We heard some arrangements where they could borrow sick days from other teachers, but that's not a satisfactory arrangement. It's not fair to the teachers. So it is something we really ought to do. And even though the immediate bill is high, it's significantly cheaper to do it all at once like this than it is to do it piecemeal, Mr. President. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
The ayes and nays having been called, roll call on second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 138.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard. Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
No.
Landon? Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 18 aye, 12 no.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 138 has passed. It's been adopted. We have a second reading amendment number 2. If the reading clerk would please read it in.
House Bill 138, second reading amendment number 2 to engross copy to corrected copy. Delete the Scott Kraft second reading amendment.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, I ask that second reading amendment number 2 to 138 be withdrawn. I think the last amendment took care of what I was after.
Without objection, second reading amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. There are no further amendments. We're back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. House Bill 138, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 144, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 144, Education, School Safety and Security.
No amendments or discussion? House Bill 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 152, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 152, Industrial Siding Impact Payments.
There are no amendments, no objection, no discussion. House Bill 152, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 160, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 160, Special Warranty Deeds.
No amendments, discussion. House Bill 160, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 161, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 161, Retirement Account Exemption from Execution.
No amendments or discussion. House Bill 161, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 174, second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 174, Nicotine Products Regulation.
Looks like we have an amendment.
Yes, we do.
I could get a copy. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 174, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 8.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 174. Members of the body, what this does is go into the bill, and it deletes the, on page 2, it deletes the whole section 143309, which is the use of tobaccos on school grounds prohibited. Section 303 of our, or 308 of our statutes already allows that prohibition for students to prohibit tobacco on campuses, school grounds. The reason I bring this amendment, Mr. President, this current provision, this new statute, 309, comes in, is overly broad. It's a prohibition. There's no penalties, and it's not clear who enforces this or whether it's even enforceable. Mr. Chairman, I think the remedy for this problem already exists in statutes. The way this is wrote now, anybody that ever drives across a school ground, whether you're using a smokeless or smoking a cigarette, you've violated this prohibition. It's way too broad. I've tried to work with the sponsor to craft to come up with some other language, but Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I think the remedy already exists. I think the school boards can already implement policy to take care of this issue. I would ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have no objection to this, Mr. President.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I would urge the Senate to vote no. It does seem to me there's a hole in the existing law. Yes, schools can, and about half of them have implemented this policy. But it's important that we get it across the full spectrum. And what you're really getting at, you know, the individual in their car is not going to be affected. What you're really getting at is staff and teachers and other staff that you teach in school that tobacco is bad for you and you shouldn't ought to smoke, and they do teach that. And rightly so, because it is the most harmful thing that an individual can do to themselves. And then it is a powerful addiction, and some of the teachers and some of the staff smoke. If they go out on the playground and then do this in front of the kids, you're modeling very bad behavior and destroying the good that you're doing in the classroom. So I would urge us to resist this amendment. I think it's undercutting the education work we're trying to do with our young folks that will be greatly helpful as they go forward to their health.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Mr. President, on the things that were brought up from the tall senator from Casper,
Yeah, you know, the staff issue really is a local control issue. And we're going to have a little bill in here at some time. We're going to talk about local control, I'm sure. And that is a local control issue about what they want their staff to do. So, Mr. President, the problem that I see with the bill as it is right now is that it kind of reminds me of a big brother telling us what to do. And think of it, the last time that you flew on a plane and you had a half a bottle of water and you wanted to take that bottle of water on the plane. And there it is. There's this big trash barrel halfway full of half-used water bottles, and you have to throw it away before you step through the security thing. And I can see this is that people are going to sporting events, they're going to the class theater, they're going into any other venue like that, and they've traveled 200 miles from another school, and they're down there, and they've got their cigarettes in their pocket or their purse or their good old Copenhagen can with the ring right in their back pocket. And there you go. It's like, okay, here's a confrontational deal. It's like we're going to have the TSA at the schools, you know, pulling these people over saying, you look like a smoker. You know, you look like you chew. Throw it in there or get out of here.
Honor for the amendment. Senator Astor.
To the good senator from Goshen, and the downside is?
Senator Von Slater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope the Senate does vote this down. The good sponsor did say that it was in 308, they do get to regulate tobacco for 18 and under. And this is for everybody. And this is only for the use of. It's not for possession of. It says for the use of tobacco products. So there is a big difference, and I hope the Senate resists this amendment.
Back to Senator Wasserberger, then to Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. I would remind the body that the language is actually use of tobacco on school grounds. So if the language stays as the original bill, you have to be using. You can't, it doesn't say possession.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please. Mr. President, let's keep focused on what we're talking about here. We're trying to reinforce the message to the kids that smoking is bad.
Any further discussion before the movement takes a second time? There being none, back to the movement. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, again, I would just point out it establishes an absolute prohibition for using, and that's correct, using. But let's talk about the educational component. We're going to try to shelter these kids because they don't see a teacher smoking. Well, guess what? They don't see the teacher smoking, but then they go home and their parents smoke or their parents use tobacco. The idea that somehow this is going to shelter children from the fact that adults are using tobacco, I think, is a false premise. But this does establish an absolute prohibition, and the question begs itself is who's going to enforce it? This is now a prohibition 24/7, 365. It's just too broad. I agree with and I think getting back to the issue of dealing with faculty, school boards can implement those policies. They're not precluded from doing that. It is a really local control issue. As a term and condition of employment, a school board can establish a policy that we don't want our staff or faculty using tobacco products during school on campus. But what happens if that teacher comes back on Saturday and happens to drive into the parking lot and is smoking a cigarette? Now they're prohibited from doing that. Let the local policies deal with this issue. This is much too broad. While I agree with the intent, it's not enforceable. It's just a prohibition. It's much too broad. I'd ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote.
The ayes and nays have been called for. Roll call on second reading. Amendment number 1 to House Bill 174.
Anderson,
Aye. Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Excuse.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
Second reading, Amendment Number 1, to House Bill 174 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion of the bill? House Bill 174 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 181, second reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 181, speeding penalties in 80-mile-per-hour zones.
We have an amendment? No amendments. No discussions. House Bill 181, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 186, second reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 186, human trafficking, forfeiture of property.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 186, second reading, Amendment 1, Number 1, to engross copy, page line 1120.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is a peripheral issue in the bill. The question is, where does the balance of these forfeitures, the monies from them, where do they go? The bill provides they go to the Crime Victim Compensation Fund. The state constitution says fines and penalties belong to public school funds. All fines and penalties under the general laws of the state shall belong to the public school fund of the respective counties, paid over the custodians of such funds for the current support of the public schools therein. Mr. President, and I know on occasion we've seen, particularly in these forfeiture areas, various legal opinions saying essentially we can ignore the Constitution. But I don't think that's wise. The Constitution was formulated, written the way it was, so there wouldn't be an extra incentive for any group to go out and try to build up the fines and penalties and forfeitures. And that's why you have the provision sending these to the public school funds. I think that we ought to follow that. That's what this amendment does. The reference is to the provision in Title VIII that specifies exactly how the money gets there. So that's what the amendment does, and I would urge the Senate to adopt it.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not speaking against the amendment. I'm just curious how the rest of the money can be distributed in the order it is and then reach that. That's what I don't understand. Against the Constitution, I guess.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering that the thing about all the forfeitures on drug-related crimes, that they don't go to the schools. They go to the guys that pick up the criminals. So, you know, I'm just wondering how we get around that if it's actually a constitutional issue.
Further discussion before the movement takes a second time.
Back to the movement for a second time, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, first question with regard to the other provisions in there, which essentially relate to the cost of administering this and collecting the forfeitures. That seemed to me reasonable that those ought to be deducted for that reason. It's the net proceeds that are going to the schools. Second, with regard to the ones in the drug forfeiture area, my answer would be we shouldn't. And that's something we ought to correct, that I think there were some federal incentives involved in there. But I think it's a mistake. I think it is an invitation for those laws to be abused. But that's beyond the scope, Mr. President, of this bill. So we've got to correct this thing as far as the bill that's before us. And it'll have to be another measure on another day to deal with the issue with the drug forfeitures, but I think we should.
Question is, on second reading amendment number one, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one has failed. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 186, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. House Bill 193, second reading of the bill. Time out. Absolutely.
Mr. President. Mr. President, in the balcony above you, and we'll have a couple groups coming through today, we've got Bobby Gilmore, who is if you've been to a T-Bird game, oftentimes we see him up at the T-Bird games. But what we've got here is their Crest Hill Elementary fifth grade is here visiting today in the legislature. This is the first of several groups. These are the Crest Hill Dragons that live around the corner up the street from where I live. And if you join me in welcoming the Crest Hill Dragons to the Senate, I'd appreciate it.
Now, if the reading clerk would please read the second reading of the bill.
House Bill number 193, Veteran Burial Teams.
Any discussion? There are no amendments. Senate File 193, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. That brings us to the third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, I do. Third reading consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 11, Distant Education Task Force. House Bill 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset. House Bill 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act. House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. House Bill 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. House Bill 126, Candidate Filing Requirements. House Bill 139, Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limit. House Bill 146, Uniform Trust Code. House Bill 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw. House Bill 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation. House Bill 180, Child Interviews, Neglect and Abuse Cases. House Bill 214, Practice of Law Amendments. And House Joint Resolution 6, Wyoming Local Food Production.
Would any of the members like to have any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think there's an amendment on House Bill. I know there's an amendment on House Bill 214.
House Bill 214 is removed from the consent list. Senator Emmerich.
House Bill 56, Food Freedom Act.
House Bill 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, is removed from the consent list. Any other bills, any other requests? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 11, Distance Education Task Force. House Bill 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset. House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. House Bill 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. House Bill 126, Candidate Filing Requirements. House Bill 139, Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limits. House Bill 146, Uniform Trust Code. House Bill 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw. House Bill 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation. House Bill 180, Child Interviews, Neglect, and Abuse Cases. House Bill 6, Wyoming Local Food Production. If the Chief Clerk would please... Let me restate the last one on the list. The last one on the list should be House Joint Resolution Number 6, Wyoming Local Food Production. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson excused. Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 11, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Case? Case, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote?
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Closing? Hicks, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 11, 21 aye, 8 no, 1 excused. House Bill 25, are there any changes? Aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Von Platern, aye to no. Escobel, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 25, 23 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. House Bill 61, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 61, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 107, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 107, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 126, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Dockstetter aye to no. Perkins aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 126, 26 aye, 3 no, 1 excused. House Bill 139, are there any changes? Perkins aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 139, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. House Bill 146, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 146, 29 aye, 1 excused. House Bill 149, are there... Geis, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Escobel, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Driscoll, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Pappas, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 149, 6 aye, 23 no, 1 excused. House Bill 150. Are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Closing vote.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Closing vote. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 150, 22 aye, 7 no, 1 excused. House Bill 180, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 180, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. House Joint Resolution 6, are there any changes? Closing vote. Hicks, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 6, 25 aye, 4 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, the following House bills have passed the Senate. House Bill 11, House Bill 11, House Bill 25, House Bill 61, House Bill 107, House Bill 126, House Bill 139, House Bill 146, House Bill 150, House Bill 180, and House Joint Resolution Number 6. House Bill 149, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 149 has failed to pass the Senate. House Bill 56, third reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 56. Are there any amendments or discussions? Discussion, Senator Emmerich.
I'll be brief, Mr. President, and thank you. We've amended this bill so many times, I'm not really sure where we are. But I do know that it's still not the way I would like to see it. I think there's still too much chance of foodborne diseases if we allow this bill to pass as it is now crafted. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Simply request leave the choice in the hands of the consumer.
Further discussion on the bill? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the legislation, we did a good job of taking out all the strange liability requirements, but we didn't do anything to ensure that the consumer actually was informed. There are no protections in place. So while I would like to see the possibility of a truly informed consumer having the opportunity, this doesn't require an informed consumer. This requires that a brief conversation is had, that somebody understands that it wasn't inspected, not that they understand what the actual risks are. The risk really is sickness and death, possibility of early miscarriage and other hazards. And without having the proper information, Mr. Chairman, I can't support the legislation and hope the body doesn't either.
Senator Driscoll and then Meyer.
Mr. President, thank you. We already went through the informed consent. We voted it down. We went through that. This truly is a personal choice. It's care about emptor. It's buyer beware. We've all known that forever. And this is truly about making something legal that's already happening. This debate has been long. We have amended it multiple times and made the bill better. It's a great bill. Let's move it on.
Senator Meyer.
From Crook County, expressed my views on this, Mr. President.
Senator Hicks.
President, if we're going to talk about implied consent, let's just talk about what it is. Every time you go into a restaurant and order food, that's implied consent. You went into a business establishment and you said, I want this to eat. What we know is that approximately two-thirds of all foodborne illnesses come out of restaurants and facilities that are inspected and checked. So do we going to now them have to sign a waiver? Every time you go in to make a purchase, it's an implied consent. You weren't forced to do this through coercion or some other mechanism. So, you know, while I understand there's some concerns here, I think, Mr. Chairman, we just need to move this bill on and understand what implied consent really means.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this was a bill I wanted to vote for because I think there's been an overreach on the part of some of the public health authorities into areas where there really isn't much risk and where people can evaluate the risks. But when I spoke to the sponsor about this bill, I asked him about concern with raw milk. And he said, yeah, it throws it open to raw milk. And reading the bill, I'm convinced he's right. And that's something new and different. That's not the way this bill's written. Just codifying what's already going on out there. And that's a very real risk. You know, we went to pasteurization better than 100, probably 150 years ago, because it was a very real risk. It was causing a lot of illness. And the trouble is that we forget, because it just hasn't happened, because the stuff has been not widely available. We just haven't seen outbreaks. You make it widely available, you're going to see some major outbreaks. And that's what I'm afraid of. I think that's the area where this bill goes a step too far. And very reluctantly, I'm going to urge the Senate to vote no on this. This one is dangerous.
Senator Esterbell.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk about implied consent. And certainly, if you go into a restaurant or a neighbor or what have you, there is that implied consent. But we haven't talked too much about the fact that there's also a warranty on the other side, that there's a warranty that the food is free of germs, or that it's been cooked in a clean kitchen. There's those kind of warranties, and we haven't talked enough about that. So I'd hate to think that this bill would be centered simply on the whole idea of implied consent. There's an equal responsibility on the other side, so I would urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Dockstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good discussion. I would suggest to you that all the choice of pasteurization is out there, multiple stores across the state. Let them choose for themselves on this one. Step back on this one. Let the Food Freedom Act move forward. I'm for it.
President, for the second time, we've been through this. We talked about over half the people in the United States can get raw milk right now. And the fact is, we can get it in Wyoming through the CowShare program. The risks, there are inherent risks, are already there. This just legally makes it totally legal to do what's already happening. It broadens a class to be able to do it, but it makes it legal. I encourage you to vote yes on this.
There is no further discussion on the bill. The question has been called for. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
No.
Escobel.
No.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Johnson, excused. Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross, conflict?
Aye.
Conflict. Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fladeren?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 20 aye, 8 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 56, having received a majority vote of those members elected the Senate, House Bill 56 has passed the Senate. The next item for our consideration is House Bill 197, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 197, Emergency Vehicles, Tow Trucks, and Wreckers, sponsored by Representative Edmonds, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
House Bill 197, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 15.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 197 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, this is just simply changes the language on page 2, line 15, from red flashing and blue lamp to red to flashing red, and red or blue. And it just makes it, I had received a correspondence from some drivers in Sweetwater County, and I took their concerns to the colonel of the Highway Patrol, we looked it over, and one of the things he brought to me, he said, you know, this would be a good idea because all of our forms, all of our inspection forms indicate this language. And he said that this would be a good amendment to just simply have this on there. And I know that I was told that there was, some of us were off the floor for part of some of the debates on appropriations, but I know that there was some concerns over the elimination of amber, and we had that discussion out there too. The 31.5.928 statute cites that the amber lights are still not an issue. But anyway, all this does is, as the colonel told me, this is consistent then with all the forms that they use for inspection, and ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I talked to the sponsor, and we had a little bow-wow with the colonel out here. I'm not sure why the colonel didn't bring that up during our committee things, that all his forms were one way. But there is some concerns out there that because in this particular section, we didn't provide for amber lights, but we provided language that says, as provided for in law, that anybody listening out there, you can still run your amber lights.
Further discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of third reading amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? If the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen? Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson excused. Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed, 29 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 197, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 197 has passed the Senate. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can have a short approach to the floor again.
You certainly can.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we have more dragons in the balcony up above you. They're getting ready to leave, and before they fly away, if you just take a minute and recognize these good young men and young women from Crest Hill School in Casper. I appreciate it.
House Bill 214, third reading of the bill.
House Bill number 214, Practice of Law Amendment, sponsored by Representative Brown. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 214, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 7, line 13.
Senator Scott, let me give you your mic first.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, the bill as it stands before you, amongst other things, and I think these are probably peripheral to the main point of the bill, repeals two sections, and what the amendment does is say, no, let's not repeal 335114. Mr. President, let me read you 335114 that I think we ought to leave in the statute. It's entitled Penalty for Deceit or Collusion. An attorney and counselor who is guilty of deceit or collusion or consents thereto with intent to deceive a court or judge or a party to an action or proceeding, or brings a suit or commences proceedings without authority, therefore, is liable to be disbarred and shall forfeit to the injured party treble damages to be recovered in a civil action. Mr. President, what you're talking about here is a very real evil, where the attorneys for the two contending parties would get together and conspire for a particular outcome for their own benefit. And that is destructive of the justice system. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very much. There have been two recent cases alleging this, and my understanding is that in both those cases, and these are cases since 2000, in both those cases, there was no collusion or it couldn't be proved there was collusion. The cases were unsuccessful. But, Mr. President, I think it is worth leaving in the statutes and having available a remedy, because it is such a serious matter and so destructive of the system of justice. The provision, the language may be a little antiquated, but I think it's quite clear what it means. And hopefully we won't have prosecutions under it, civil cases under it. But I think leaving the possibility open is wise, and we would be better to leave this section in the statutes.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, I just wanted to follow up. This is relevant to the amendment. The other day that we had on our committee, the whole, there were a couple of cases, and we were to report back on those stricter cases. I did look up those cases, Mr. President, and did to report back to Senator Scott with just the edification of the Senate. In both of those cases that Senator Scott referred to, both of them were brought both of them failed in before the Supreme Court, or at least they failed in district court, and then they were appealed, and they also the denial of recognition by the Supreme Court that the district court was right was upheld in both those cases. One of those cases was a collusion between two attorneys to have a conspired outcome in a certain case, and in that case, that was the one attorney was proven not to have conspired, and so if one attorney didn't conspire, then there couldn't have been conspiracy between the both. So that one was unsuccessful. The other case was simply the attorney. The deceit was alleged against the attorney, and this is important with respect to the amendment or the bill or the statute that this would bring back in. Is it's very limited to a civil action, so you have to be involved in litigation for this to apply. And so it's a very narrow action. Outside these two cases, there seem to be no reported cases of this being applicable. The threat is very real, but believe me, one of the things that happens, Mr. President, there's a certain publication that's put out by the state bar every month, and one of the first things that lawyers do is they go look at the page and see what's happened to whoever's in the state's been it's happened to. And so, and those run from disbarments to suspensions to public censures to other things like that. Lawyers have, it was said the other day, lawyers clean their house well. Sometimes it seems to be too well, but nevertheless, it's a very active disciplinary body in effect. And so you can, if you think this is necessary, you should vote for it. If you think it's unnecessary, you should vote against it. Thank you, Mr. President.
All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this is a licensure bill, and I always look in a licensure bill to see where the fence is. And I think I found it in this one. And, Mr. President, it's a pretty minor fence. The provision in the bill is you have to have be newly licensed, you have to have a Juris Doctor degree. The old degree was the LLB degree. When I was considering was I going to go to law school or do something else, and I obviously decided something else. But the LLB was the degree at the school I was looking at. So, and that's gone out. When I was that age, that change was starting, and it was completed sometime after that. Now, most of the attorneys that would move in from another state would come in by reciprocity, and then they could come in with the lesser degree. So the people that would be fenced out by this bill are those that got the original LLB degree, which are probably now at least in their 60s, and then had left the degree for one reason or another. They did something else, all kinds of reasons, and let that degree lapse. They would be barred from coming in by this statute. It's a minor fence, Mr. Right. President, but it is there.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just to follow up on that point, I think the President said the other day in his in committee of the whole that he wasn't aware of anybody in 40 years that had taken advantage of this. The only person I know that in the last 40 years has taken advantage of that provision that the good senator, my fellow senator from Natrona County, was speaking, used to be a law partner of mine, and she actually got her, was actually licensed after the second year of, after she actually only went to law school for 2 years before she sat for the bar, but she had studied that law. She had also practiced in a law office under her husband's partner for a while, and that way had gotten admitted to the bar after her second year. But then, Mr. President, she went and took her third year the next year and graduated. So ultimately, it only applied for 1 year. But ultimately, this quote fence seems to have stopped. No one's taken advantage of it in any meaningful way in probably the last 30 or more years. And so it is a minor fence. Not aware of anybody out there that would be fenced out by this. Certainly no one that's come forward, and so would urge your favorable consideration of this bill.
Further discussion on the bill? If not, if the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson excused. Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott? Von Platern? Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 214, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 214 has passed the Senate. Did that clear the desk, or do we have any more messages? Clears the desk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that does bring us to the point of order of business for bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Senator Meyer.
I'm just getting ready for announcements, Mr. President.
This is announcement.
Okay, here we go. We're going to meet on the conference committee on House Bill 154 and H-17 and be about 10 minutes. And then this afternoon, Mr. President, your committee number 8 will meet upon adjournment to discuss interim topics in S-14.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joint Conference Committee on the Budget will meet in 204 at 12:30.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. in S-19. We're going to take up House Bill 166, Engrossed Electrical Safety and Fire Prevention Amendments, House Bill 182, Engrossed Public Assistance Eligibility, House Bill 201, Engrossed Deposits by Political Subdivisions, House Bill 228, Subdivision Family Exception, House Bill 235, Engrossed Foreign Business Entities Reinstatement, 7 a.m.
Senator Von Platern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about 20 minutes at 12:20 in room S-18 to continue talks on House Bill 212, Engrossed Workers' Compensation Claim Apportionment, and House Bill 108, Trespass Landowner Liability.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning on S-15 with a joint meeting with the House to consider interim studies.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Mr. President, your travel committee number 6 will meet with the House Committee of the same on tomorrow at 8 a.m. in H-10 to discuss interim topics.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.